It's interesting. I was talking to some people about the use of telemedicine this week, and a couple doctors were, you know, talking about their, you know, their problems with it, what they have, you know, what their issues they have with it, I guess I should say. So, and I definitely can understand their issues, the fact that, you know, this person's not taking my vitals, they're not listening to my chest, they're not looking in my nose, looking in my ears, seeing if I have a strep or anything like that. They are kind of to go off to what I say and what I'm describing. So, you know, it definitely has its downfalls in regards to that.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. We appreciate you guys listening each week. We hope you enjoy these challenges that we've doing so far. We got another set of challenges for you, and we're going to talk about our first FaceTime doctor appointment.
Oh.
I'm going to go into detail about it. Shannon is going to tell you about this month's challenges.
Yes, so we are in a new month, October. Hello, October. It is officially the first full month of fall. And we figured that in previous challenges for fitness, you know, we have a fitness aspect and then we have a dietary component for every monthly challenge. So this month, we've previously given you kind of like new things to try, just to kind of try to get some new movement into your day, you know, first with squats, which not many people just bang out like 50 squats a day. And then also with yoga, some form of yoga, which was not even just limited to movement. So it was really just to introduce something new. This month, however, we are going back to basics. I mean, like as basic as you can get, pretty much. We are going to do a 15-minute a day walking challenge. Now, for those of you who may walk to work or walk to the subway, that maybe you like walk as part of your job, maybe you want to up this a little bit for your own personal challenge, you know, be honest with yourself. But I think a lot of us don't really even make the time to walk consistently for 15 minutes. And like, you can break this up. You can break it into 3 5-minute walks.
Yeah.
You can do a 10-minute walk and then a little quick jaunt at the end of the day. But this is just to get you back to doing something really basic that's really beneficial for you and is going to add, again, that consistency that we're trying to get regimented into your day of just making time for your own movement.
Mm-hmm.
So that is our fitness challenge, 15 minutes of walking a day. You can break it up as you see necessary, adjust for your own personal activity level. As far as our food or dietary challenge, we thought about doing things really cruel this month. We thought about, you know, cutting out sugar or limiting candy. And then we realized that that's just not realistic in a month that culminates with Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So instead, we are doing the reverse, and we are going to ask you to add, hopefully, this is ideally something we all would do every meal, but we are going to ask that you have a fruit or vegetable part of every meal. So not just, we're not just talking like, oh, I got some mushrooms and an onion on my pizza or pineapple. No, that doesn't count. It's not, I have a pasta sauce, so I'm set. I've got my fruit component. We're saying like an actual part of your dish. So breakfast, I mean, you can put fruits, you can put
potatoes,
vegetables,
right?
You can put, I mean, they're a plant. Yes, they're technically a starch, but yeah, I think even potatoes count, especially particularly if they're not deep fried.
Yeah.
Sweet potatoes, yeah. And actually, we have a purple sweet potato. I don't even know if we've tried it yet. So yeah, just it's trying to have you experiment with something. So instead of taking something away out of your diet, we're saying add something in, hopefully, and make the focus a little bit more on some of those lovely plant friends that should be a part of every meal.
Right. Now, those are both obtainable challenges, so I think that's what we're going to roll with. Guys, let us know how you are doing with these challenges or your progress with these challenges by hashtagging it ATF Podcast Challenge. You know, you guys can send us your little updates on Instagram or share them on the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. All right. So Shannon's got to run. She's got some other business she needs to take care of. Before she runs, I want to ask her, which the topic we're going to get into, because we're kind of bypassing training recaps this week because both of us have been dealing with illnesses.
Yeah.
So we finally took some proactive approach to treating our illnesses. And we both did, I guess, telemedicine, which we've talked about recently.
Yes, we talked about this as a growing trend, and we finally participated in it ourselves this week, both of us for the first time.
So, yes, we used the MedLive app, and it's
this isn't, like, sponsored or anything. No, our experience.
Not. Yes, so this is... So we just basically, this app is able to connect you with medical professionals. They ask you a series of questions through the app, and then they connect you with somebody, give you a time, an appointment. And how was your experience?
It was good. I mean, once I put the information in, I will say I put in probably more information than, I don't know, that was necessary, but like... I was very clinical in my breakdown of my symptoms. Mm-hmm. And because I've had a mother who's been, you know, she's been in the health industry almost my whole life, I knew like specific things to be watching and what was different. So I wrote like a paragraph. Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that I'm expecting, you know, it's telemedicine, so I'm expecting like this young doctor or something to answer. And I just did the phone. I didn't do the FaceTime.
Right.
I didn't feel I needed to be seen visually. So the person I got on the other end was this like old guy though. His name, what was his name?
Doctors can be old guys too.
No, I know, but like it's a telemedicine, so you wouldn't think like that an older doctor. He's like, you can just call me Dr. B. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, because his last name was unpronounceable. And he's like, I'm an internal medicine family practitioner, blah, 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 years. And I was like, wow, okay. He was very nice. He asked me, you know, what was going on. I told him I basically had a cold for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, and he asked me just a couple very pointed questions. And then he went, yeah, I know what you have. And I was like, kind of taken back. I was like, really? Because I don't know what I have. And I, you know, I've been living in my body for 30 plus years. And he actually gave me a diagnosis that seemed very plausible and something I've not actually heard of before. But I guess, you know, and I looked it up afterwards. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely legit. And it's absolutely something that I probably like, it seemed to fit. Mm. And I will also say he was very quick to prescribe. He's like, you can try to do this on your own. He's like, but I'm going to tell you, it's a long run. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
But so he gave me the option. Then he said, but I can prescribe a Z-Pack, which I've never done in my life.
Yep. I've never done one, I don't think, either.
This is a totally new experience. And I even talked to Ella's doctor because we had to bring her to the doctor today. And I asked her, I said, is my experience normal? Because I took a Z-Pack and I felt like loopy afterwards. Like 20 minutes afterwards, I felt like my entire body, my head went light, my entire body went heavy. And I was just like, whoa, what is happening? Should I be operating heavy machinery? They didn't tell me that in the call. They just told me like, oh yeah, you're going to take two the first day and then one a day for 4 days after that. I was like, okay, no, this is like heavy duty-ish right here, I think. So if anybody else out there has taken a Z-Pack, if you like felt different after it, please let me know, because I feel like I'm alone in this. The doctor that we talked to today was like, that's not normal. And I was like, oh, crap.
So how are you feeling now?
Hopefully this works. I will say I do feel better, and I'm really hoping it's not just the placebo effect, that all of this, like, rush of feeling and, like, sensation in my body is because like this cleanse is happening of all of the nasty things that have right. been attacking me for the last month and a half.
What do you think about the experience with the telemedicine experience?
I mean, I think it was pretty straightforward. I did have to do a little following up on the prescription because we've learned the hard way that prescriptions don't always get called in properly. So I did a little bit of that, but they had a helpline. They texted me once my prescription was submitted. They gave me a phone number to call if I had any issues, which I did. So I would say it was very, once you're in it, the setup of the app probably was the hardest part.
Yeah.
And then once you're in it, it was pretty intuitive. And they have like a little chat bot that walks you through the like set, like the intro part.
Right.
Everything was on time. I mean, I've only used it once now, but I actually really liked it. And I would say I would probably use that for anything non-critical. I would probably go that route again.
Nice. All right. Well, good. I'm going to give my 2 cents here, and then we're going to talk about some pros and cons of the telemedicine.
Sounds all right. Good.
I'm going to release you
from all right.
your duties.
You're released.
Yes.
You all right. are dismissed. I am sorry that I will not be here to poke fun at your comments.
Thank
and,
you.
And interject mm-hmm. annoyingly yep. every once in a while, but you all hear good hands. Good voice.
All right.
I don't know. All right. Bye now.
All right. So as I mentioned a little bit earlier, I had my first telemedicine experience also same week as Shannon, coincidentally, both of us dealing with kind of lingering colds, Shannon, as you heard, more so than mine. But I recently got new health insurance, and one of the part of the benefits was I had access to this MD Live, this telemedicine service and the app and then connection with a health professional. So I've been feeling it, feeling like a cold and cough in the middle of the night. So I was like, all right, I know this. And with a bunch of travel that we have coming up, I knew I needed to take some action. So I do like the in-person. I do like going in-person a little bit more. So, you know, you can take vitals and somebody can look in your nose and your throat. But unfortunately, I looked for like a walk-in clinic and it was a 3-hour wait. So I was like, well, I can't do that. So boom, tried the app, did the sign up. As Shannon mentioned, the sign up was the most long, like the most involved thing. But then once I, you know, did the option to get started in the app to kind of set up an appointment, there was a few questions, gave some details about what was going on with me, and then gave some preferences on what I was looking for as far as when I wanted to talk to somebody, wanted to do FaceTime or not. Boom, within 15 minutes, I was talking to a medical professional. She asked a series of questions about, you know, what kind of, not to get TMI, but the color of my phlegm and mucus. So there were some mucus-related questions. Asked about how long the symptoms have been going and what the symptoms were and was it getting progressively worse? How so, you know, all those types of questions and, you know, described what I had and what it was and said that typically an antibiotic can help treat that or at least shorten the duration, which, you know, whenever I do get sick with a sinus infection or some sort of cold, that's usually what I go on. But that's probably once a year, if that. So I went ahead. She asked if I was wanted a prescription of antibiotics and what I was, if I was familiar with using antibiotics, if I was allergic or not. But I said yes, because I was wanting to be proactive. So I did get that. And as Shannon mentioned, you know, I picked my pharmacy, and then they send it right into the pharmacy, tell you when it's ready. And they even talked about it was through the health insurance I have. I was talking to my contact guy, and he gave me another app called GoodRx to get coupons for prescriptions. So even after my insurance, you know, had the what they would cover for the prescription, you can actually look on the app, and sometimes a coupon saves you money even after their insurance. So that was a cool little thing in addition to, it wasn't quite telemedicine, but it's kind of a good, you know, a version of like smartphone apps helping you out as far as healthcare. So I thought that was kind of neat. it's interesting. I was talking to some people about the use of telemedicine this week, and a couple doctors were, you know, talking about their, you know, their problems with it, what they have, you know, what their issues they have with it, I guess I should say. So, and I definitely can understand their issues, the fact that, you know, this person's not taking my vitals, they're not listening to my chest, they're not looking in my nose, looking in my ears, seeing if I have a strep or anything like that. They are kind of to go off to what I say and what I'm describing. So, you know, it definitely has its downfalls in regards to that. But there's actually an article, a really good article I looked up, 15 Crucial Telemedicine Pros and Cons. So I looked up several of these articles, and the vast majority of the ones that I saw were written in the last few years. This doesn't have a date on it, but since this is such an emergent field now, I feel this is only a few years old, especially in regards to some of the topics I bring up. So in the list of pros from this article, they talk about, number one, it is more convenient for patients. You know, kind of just how I talked about, you know, just time constraints, walk-in clinics having a three-hour wait, and they even reference in this article people that live in rural areas who don't even, they're not in a city, it takes them hours to get to a doctor's office. Maybe they have to, this is the best way to communicate with a medical professional to see if they have to make the trip or not. And then you have people that are maybe homebound too. Number two, it saves doctors a lot of money. Well, this is something that I think is interesting. It says telemedicine is often a lot cheaper than a traditional visit to the doctor for an examination. The American Hospital Association reports that the average telemedicine program in the United States saves 11% and triples the return on investment for those who are involved. So, I mean, that's something that's, you know, from a doctor's perspective, I definitely think that that'd be a great aspect of telemedicine. Number three, it saves patients a lot of money too. As you can imagine, the time invested to go, miss work, and or drive to a doctor's office, depending on where you're located. But also, this app, and for me, it was a free, I don't know, free, I mean, I pay for my health insurance every month, but it's a part of my health insurance. So just talking to a doctor on this app, there is no like copay to pay or anything like that. You know, I have my monthly insurance payment, but it's included in all that. So it's an added benefit for me. And, you know, just then, you know, when you have the pharmacy costs, you know, and now that I have that other app, I can save a lot of money. So I definitely feel that. Number four, it increases specialist access for rural patients. So as we already kind of alluded to, people who live in rural areas, getting access to specialists for whatever ailment they have. This is getting have specialists being able to connect with more people in a broader geographic area. So more doctors getting, you know, specialized doctors getting in touch with the people that need it. So that's a great aspect. Number five, it improves patient engagement rates. So what they talk about under this is that a lot of people hate waiting in the waiting room. They hate the waiting process. Maybe they're embarrassed by their symptoms. The telemedicine apparently kind of eliminates some of that embarrassment or barriers that would stop people from seeking care. So that's another interesting aspect. Number six, it improves the ability to treat health conditions. So what they're talking about in regards to this is that it says it's reducing late detection of diseases. Some people are embarrassed once symptoms happen. They're embarrassed to go in to see a doctor. And I guess they're more apt to talk to a medical professional over the phone about their symptoms instead of going to see them, because it's reduces, I guess, the embarrassment or the shame kind of factor with certain ailments. You know, now it's not sugar-coated, but they talk about colorectal cancer here, maybe even STDs or things like that. There is some sort of level of embarrassment, and so going in to see a medical professional may be a little bit more kind of less appealing than talking to them over the phone. Number seven, it could reduce the impact of future doctor shortages. It says Right now, let's see what it says. In 2015, the Washington Post reported that the United States could face a doctor shortage of up to 90,000 positions by the year 2025. Wow. Even on the most conservative estimates, the U.S. faces a shortage of at least 60,000 doctors. By offering telemedicine services, doctors are able to serve more patients effectively because it allows them to focus on providing physical examinations to those who require it. Interesting. All right. Number 8, it can provide better overall patient care quality. Number 9, it reduces hospital admission rates. It says in 2015, the American Journal of Managed Care said that telemedicine patients are 38% less likely to be admitted to the hospital when compared to figures from the general population. Interesting. So those are some pros that this article lists. And I think those are some obviously great aspects of telemedicine. But of course, you know, with everything, there is going to be a con side. So let's listen to some of the cons they have. So number one for cons, it can result in a cost increases for patients. Interesting, because then we talk about reduced costs. A research study published by Health Affairs suggests that just 12% of telemedicine visits actually replace an in-office visit to a local community provider. Almost 90% of the telemedicine services provided in the U.S. represented new service requests by patients that were in addition to regular in-office care they received. Huh, interesting. So not only are they doing telemedicine, they're also going into the doctor to follow up. So, but, I mean, I guess that's kind of necessary in some cases. Number two, it offers technological restrictions. Telemedicine allows for visual examination of a patient and an interview of specific symptoms. It does not, however, provide a physical examination of the patient. So, you know, and obviously it talks about with poor internet connections, maybe people that don't have internet, maybe even doing over the phone, then they can't really do a physical examination visually. You know, a medical professional can't visually assess what's going on. They have to use just basically the client's or the patient's, basically their rendition of it, their verbal rendition of it. So I can definitely see how that can be a con. Number three, it may not be covered by health insurance. Obviously, now, like I told, it's a part of my health insurance. I think Shannon mentioned that she did her new health insurance has an app also similar. She used mine this time around, but that's something that, you know, not all health insurance are jumping on board. I feel like more and more are, though, so since it's such a it does have beneficial aspects to it. Number four, it could reduce the care continuity that patients receive. So what they mean by this is that, you know, typically, people have like a primary care provider they see every year for physicals, or when they do blood work, probably maybe more so if maybe like an OBGYN for women or elderly who have a doctor visits more often. You know, going to see multiple medical professionals, that can kind of, especially if they don't have exact access to records, that can lead into some different, I guess, prescriptions, not literal prescriptions, but different evaluations from different doctors, maybe giving two different points of view for an odd topic that can lead to even more confusion opposed to giving a patient answer. So I could definitely see how that can be a problem. Number five, it eliminates jobs. Interesting. According to the March 2012 report published by Kaiser Health News, telemedicine services provided in Anchorage, Alaska, allow one nurse to supervise 33 patients. From an office desk, telemedicine technologies allow nurses to care for more patients with the same level of effectiveness. Interesting. So when you have telemedicine in a hospital, you only need one nurse to, you know, care for a certain number of patients when it used to be several nurses. So I can see how that can be an issue for sure. I know I keep saying that after each one of these. It could be an issue for sure. But this whole list of cons, it obviously, I mean, like I said, it makes sense. That's why it's got some potential, but there are some downfalls that they have to figure out. Number six, it requires doctors to have technical training. I think with that, it's a con, yes. But even Shannon mentioned about how she had, you know, an older doctor who sometimes when, you know, with the older population, they're still not as technologically savvy. But I think in regards to that, you know, doctors tend to be pretty smart and intuitive individuals. So I feel like getting trained on, you know, how to use FaceTime and how to visually inspect somebody, I feel like that's part of their, they have that already in, you know, ingrained in their training. So it's fact that they just have to, you know, basically set up a computer or set up a time or maybe even just set up a phone, smartphones now. You don't even need computers to do this. So I think that's kind of a, as far as cons go, I don't see that being a real issue. So, I mean, I had a great experience, but I can also see where it could have its lacking in certain areas in regards to certain conditions. So, I would go through all the apps kind of options for this specific app that I use, but I think this is just kind of a broad, introduction to the topic, our personal experience too. So, I think it was great. We needed it desperately. I think, it was, for me, it was only over a week and I wasn't getting any better. Shannon, like she mentioned, 6 weeks. So I'm very glad she did it and she got a prescription that, you know, was appropriate for her. So hopefully that works and take care of her issues and my issues for my different prescription. And because we are about to get on an expedition of some series of flights, both Shannon and I have to go out of town separately, and then we're all going out of town as a family. So get prepared for some interesting, probably maybe some on the road podcasts coming up for you guys. We got some great interview podcasts coming for you next week, guys. Also, I want to encourage you guys to get into participating in our challenges for the month of October. Remember, the fitness related challenge, walk a minimum of 15 minutes a day. Guys, walking the most researched exercise ever. And guess what? It all says walking is beneficial. Duh, right? No news. Not breaking news there. So try to go past that 15 minimum, guys. You can do it. And plus, it's going to help you mentally as much as physically. So also, the diet-related challenge is try to incorporate a vegetable or a piece of fruit or vegetable or fruit into every meal. So, and make it, you know, a prominent portion of your meal. So don't just, parsley on top of it. That's not going to count, guys. So whatever you do, guys, whatever you do in regards to your challenges, let us know about it. You can email us. You can contact us on Facebook. You can reach out to us on Instagram, guys. ETTAMPA is my Instagram handle, and Shannon JP is for the lovely Shannon. All right, guys, this has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time. For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.